And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie with my very special guest tonight, Deepak Chopra, and of course, your phone calls. If they go through the specific steps, the seven steps, Deepak, that you've brought out in your book, how long will it take people to be able to really begin to sense that there's a change, there's a direction change in their life?
Well, you know, I've been on a tour, a book tour, the last 2 weeks, and every day I meet somebody that takes me around to the different city, and I explain the seven steps to them while we are in the car, and by the time they drop me back at the airport the next day, they're already having the experiences. So the fact is, all it takes is a shift of attention, a shift of awareness, and it's very simple. People start to have the experience, and then of course it becomes reinforcing. What happens is, once you have a certain experience, you get the confidence that it's really happening. It starts to happen more and more.
Very good. Let's go back to the calls. Let's go east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, Mr. Chopra, it's really really great to be on the line with you.
Thanks.
I have one question.
Yes.
Is if there... if you have found any relation between some enlightenment that people might gather from the use of entheogens or hallucinogens such as LSD or mescaline, and is there any real positive aspect to that in reaching
in many cultures throughout the world, they have used hallucinogenic plants to cause shift in consciousness. Now, in most of these cases, 99.999% of these cases, the procedure is done in a ritualized manner, in a controlled manner. And many people's first experience of higher consciousness is, in fact, through mushrooms or through LSD, etc., in these cultures, including, you know, some of the traditions in India. But as a general use, I would not recommend taking drugs to experience higher consciousness. Because first of all, the drugs that we have right now are mostly synthetic drugs. The person who takes them usually gets them illegally. The dose can be easily overdose on them. They are addictive. But the short answer to your question is, in cultures, people in many cultures, traditional cultures, including American Indian shamans and in Brazil and in India and the Aborigines, through ritual, people have used natural consciousness-altering substances.
And that's the reason I asked, because I've done a lot of reading and I've done a bit of experimenting myself, I have to admit. But so you will not admit, but you do agree that these substances, when used in a proper fashion,
in the proper context,
can lead to this
expanded
or this enlightenment,
yes,
that you speak of.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much, sir, and George Norrie, thank you.
I really
appreciate your show a great deal, and Mr. Chopra, I wish you could get your books out to a lot more people than you do right now. You're a great man, and thank you both.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I don't know. If you got him out to any more people, we'd run out of paper on this planet, wouldn't we? When did you first start writing books?
Did I first start writing books?
Yeah.
Actually, I used to edit my school newspaper and then my college newspaper, so I used to write articles. And when I was a medical student, I started to collect the histories of my patients, the ones that were doing extraordinarily different from the others. But I wrote my first book after I had become a physician, and that was now almost 30 years ago.
And you now still travel around the country, do you not?
I travel throughout the world once a year, and so I'm traveling about 10 days out of the month.
Wow. And that 10 days out of the month every month?
Almost, on an average, yes.
Okay, good for you. And for people who might want to know your itinerary, where you're going to be next.
Actually, it's posted on our site on chopra.com. There's a calendar, and you can see where I am. In fact, people tell me I'm going to be here the following day, et cetera, et cetera. So my itinerary is public.
Very good. Let's go west of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, good evening, George. This is Richard in Las Vegas.
Hi, Richard.
It's a pleasure to talk with you as usual.
Thank you.
Dr. Chopra, I appreciate you staying up this extra time to speak with us. My question involves passion and patience and its integration in achieving what we want, not necessarily from an ego point of view, but from the point of view of being able to, like in my case it was art, to be able to do exactly what I wanted to do all my life, because the passion drove the patience to get there. And a lot of what you have been saying, I had from an early age, I guess maybe 15 or 16, I had started studying martial arts and got into the spiritual aspects of it. I ended up learning a lot of, and I do a lot of meditation, including every night. And so I found that it helps, but now I have gotten permanent injuries from the earthquake in Northridge, California, and also a rear-end accident. And I feel like my karmic wheel is like spinning around like a roulette wheel, and that ball, I want it to drop in a certain spot, and it wants to go where it wants to go, and I don't know quite how to handle that. Can you help me and perhaps others out there, like the gentleman before who had the back injuries? I had something similar to that.
I think you should definitely spend as much time as you can in meditation, practice body awareness techniques, look into alternative therapies such as, you know, sensory modulation through sound, touch, sight, taste, and smell. Actually, check out some of the treatments that we offer at the Chopra Center as well on the website. But also ask yourself, you know, if you now that you have the time to think about it,
yes,
and that you have the passion to get into a higher level of experience, ask yourself, what is it, you know, if I had all the money in the world and all the time in the world, what would I do? What's my unique talent? How can I express that unique talent? How does it serve people? True passion comes when we are in dharma. Dharma means we know our relationship with the web of existence, with the ecosystem, with the web of life, with the chain of being. Yes. True passion comes when we express our unique talents in the service of humanity. And true passion is also an archetypal experience. Are there people in legend or history or mythology or religion that truly inspire you?
Absolutely.
Study them and then become them.
I shall do that, and I will pick up your book as well. I look forward to looking at the websites, and I appreciate again your taking my call.
You're very welcome.
And
sir.
Thank you, George. Take care.
No problem.
Hope to see you maybe tomorrow night.
Friday night.
At the old in Las Vegas.
I'll be out there for a conference on Friday night.
If Dr. Chopra came in, the lights would probably dim. Thank you very much
to
both of you.
Appreciate it. Deepak, do you believe in the devil?
I believe that there are two forces in nature. There is a force that is creative and evolutionary, and there's a force that is the force of destruction and entropy. How we label that, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
The force of creativity is always ahead of the force of entropy. There is a balance, though. You know, if you had only the force of creativity, the universe would rapidly evolve and disappear into the heat death of absolute zero. If there was only the force of destruction, the universe would collapse into a giant big black hole and also disappear. So you need all experiences by contrast. And for the evolution to occur, you've got to have these two forces, where the creative force is always ahead of the destructive force.
You need the balance, don't you?
You need the balance.
Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
This is Jeff Taylor calling from Provo, Utah.
Welcome, Jeff.
First of all, George, I'd like to tell you how much I enjoy listening to you while I work late through the night.
Thank you. Not necessary, but appreciate it. Thanks.
Well, not only that, but I appreciate your openness, your kindness, and your patience with your callers. The other thing I'd like to comment on before we get to Deepak is what you did recently, and I've seen you do this on a number of times, and it reflects on what I'd like to ask Dr. Chopra about. there's a number of times when you've called for people to gather in a united, what he would call intention. He would probably call it prayer.
Yes.
And it's a focusing of the collective consciousness as opposed to the collective unconsciousness in a very positive way. It seems that mankind is sleepwalking through life collectively. The time has come for a change in the paradigm. The paradigm that served us to rise to dominance as a species on the planet will not serve us to sustain that position. And we have to wake up and seize control of our consciousness and join it together. My question for you, Dr. Chopra, is, you know, while I hear healing in your words, you know, it seems to me like mankind needs more a smack upside of the head than simple soft words. As much as I enjoy your words, we're approaching a period of extraordinary criticality.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, remember that in the past, we did not have the technology that we have today. We did not have George helping us reach messages with, you know, to a great number of people. We did not have the internet. We did not have the means to communicate that we have today. So even though, you know, you're right when you say that a lot of mankind is asleep, it is also waking up. The communication networks and the technologies of today are really serving to connect the neural networks of the planetary mind. Now, having said that, yes, action has to be there as well. But remember, action can only be there if there is the right intent. And the right intent has to come from a domain of awareness which is beyond the personal. We can't be thinking of me alone. We have to recognize that there are problems in the world and that we have neighbors in the world who are very poor, who have a lot of struggle going on in their lives, that there is destruction of ecology in the planet which is affecting everybody. So that was the goal behind the Alliance for the New Humanity that I mentioned earlier. And, you know, the website was given. This is a group of people, brilliant minds in the areas of economics, in the areas of conflict resolution, in the areas of ecology, in the areas of social reform. And so we have to have collective intent combined with collective action. There's no question about that.
Very good. Thanks for your phone call. Appreciate it. Let's go next to our West of the Rockies line. You are on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, my name's Wade. I'm from Tacoma, Washington.
Welcome, Wade. Go ahead.
Hi. My question is basically about addiction. There are many types of addiction that plague millions of people on this planet, including myself. And I was just wondering what your thoughts were on addiction and maybe your best advice towards curbing such addiction.
Okay, and I'll let you listen right off your radio. Go ahead, Deepak.
So first of all, you're right. Addiction is the number one disease of our civilization. And addiction is a second-class substitute for the real search for ecstasy. The real search for ecstasy is the exaltation of one's own spirit. So unless one takes a spiritual discipline and takes a spiritual journey, addiction is very difficult to treat. I have been a physician, I worked in addiction wards, and I realized that addictive people are actually very spiritual people. And if you can give them an opportunity to take on a spiritual discipline, learn to meditate, learn to pray, learn to practice mind-body techniques, practice breathing, yoga, then massage. These are the ways to begin to tackle the problem of addiction. And the 12-step recovery program is one of the most successful programs in the area of addiction because it's a spiritual approach. And ultimately, only spiritual approaches work in the area of addiction. By the way, I do have a book on the subject, and it's called Overcoming Addictions.
The fact that so many people have a difficult time with addictions, and then some other people don't, what distinguishes the difference in their personalities?
I think the main difference is that those who overcome their addictions admit that they have a problem and are willing to embrace their helplessness and seek help.
Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. You are on the air with us. Hi there.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Dr. Chopra, a few years back, I had a profound experience while meditating, and it's really troubled me a great deal ever since, and I just wondered maybe you could give me some advice on if I quickly describe what happened, actually?
Sure. What happened to you?
Well, while meditating, and I'll try to be real quick here, while meditating, I just felt a tiny shock at the base of my spine.
Back off your phone just a little bit.
Sure. How's that?
Yeah.
And this little tiny shock just escalated in a group of them all throughout my body, and until I felt like it was vibrating very violently. And I just found myself bathed in an intense yellow light. I felt an intelligence with me, some sort of vastly profound, strange, exotic intelligence. And there was a pattern I felt in front of me, something like a flower, like a horoscope. I got scared. I felt myself slammed in my body. I felt like I was having a heart attack. And that was it. It hasn't happened ever since.
Well, you know, your experience that you just described has been described in many religious traditions, including, you know, some of the greatest saints of history. So what happened was you had a very rapid rapid expulsion of stress from your body and the ecstatic experience that accompanied it. It's not very common, though. You know, most people lose their stresses very gradually. So you lost your stress in one big kind of, you know, cleansing, and as a result of that, you had this paradoxical combination of being scared, of the jolt of electricity, and the flavor of ecstasy at the same time. I would suggest that you cut down on meditation and do it gradually and smoothen out the whole process. But overall, what happened was a cleansing. And you should be grateful for it.
The fact that some people, Deepak, have been able to get to this level, mm-hmm. this higher level, I guess, on their own with knowledge, with reading,
mm-hmm.
what does that tell you about them as an individual?
That they're highly evolved, that they probably have done a lot of work in another lifetime, that they're you know, karmically already ahead, that's all.
All right. We're going to take this quick break. It's our final break, and we'll come right back. We're going to continue to take more of your phone calls. I invite you to get up to the website, coasttocoastam.com. You will see a couple websites for Deepak Chopra, of course, his, chopra.com. And then he's got the other one that's linked up. Lex has it on the website, ANHGLOBAL, ANHGlobal.org. Take a look at both of those. The book we're talking about tonight is called The Spontaneous Fulfillment of Desire, Harnessing the Infinite Power of Conscious and Coincidence. I'll be right back.
Can't believe what you're hearing? Listen to it again when you sign up for StreamLink at www.coasttocoastam.com. It's only 15 cents a day.